Morning, everybody. Shavua Tov. We're continuing in Beitza. We are we're going to go back to Daf Bet and Aleph at the bottom just to pick up the momentum from where we left off last week. Continuing from Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, who's Machmir, who's not Machmir, which Shita is the Shita of Rav Nachman, and why, and Muksa, yes Muksa, no Muksa. And again, the still fundamental point, which is why in the world is the egg mutter, according to Beit Shammai, and why is it permitted according to Beit Shammai, why is it forbidden according to Beit Hillel? What's the rationale behind this egg? There's literally every line, every phrase, there's so much to talk about, just because there's so many principles here when it comes to moksa. So sometimes we got to take our time, and hopefully it'll pay off when we come to the application part a little bit later on this semester. Take a look. So last week we reached reached the point where we said, in terms of flipping around Rav Nachman, let's read that together. So it's three lines from the bottom, four lines from the bottom. Amar lechav Rav Nachman, right? Gabe Shabbos, everyone with me? Gabe Shabbos, de sasam lon tana karabi Shimon. Rav Nachman says, you know what we're going to do? We're the remember that is Stam Mishnah. We like to hold like a Stam Mishnah. That's the halacha, right? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi place the halacha according to the Stam Mishnah, right? What's the Stam Mishnah? No name. Unauthored Mishnah is nameless, anonymous, and timeless, right? It shows that it was accepted by the majority of Chachamim. So how did Rebbe, remember, when Rebbe wrote, when he redacted, I love one of my favorite words, when he redacted the Mishnayo, so right, he was the Rambam, Ha'asev, Kol Chachmei Yisrael, he gathered everybody and he collected everything, and he decided what was in, what was out, what was a Mishnah, what was a Brisa, and he organized it all, and he codified, he had to place, in the way he did it, some type of system. But one of his systematic approaches was that he said, okay, anything which is an unnamed and unauthored Mishnah, a Stam Mishnah, that's the Halacha. And again, to show you that, you know, it's counterintuitive. Usually you got to put a name to it, right? The opposite. If you write an essay, you put a name to it. You're like, well, where'd you get that from? Right? Well, the opposite is true when it comes to Rebbe.
He made them unnamed, right? It wasn't like they were unnamed. He made it, the ones that he liked, he made unnamed to make the halacha.
To make the halacha, right, exactly. To show that this is like a stronger or more accepted, or there's so many names to it, or this is, right? It's not just one guy. This is the majority of Klal Yisrael, majority of Chachamim, and therefore that's kind of how we set it out. So, and so again, what's the rationale behind Rav Nachman that he, the Stam Mishnah, went according to Rabbi Shimon when it comes to Shabbos? How do we know that the chop up these gourds, pumpkins, these gourds of behema, vest and avila from klavim, as well as chopping up this nevela, these the carcass in front of the animals? There we hold, I mean, the fact that it's permitted, because it says mechatchim, we're allowed to do it, right? Here we see that we line up the opinions of Beit Hillel to Rabbi Shimon. However, of all the gabe Yom Tov, when it comes to Yom Tov, however, we flipped it, Stam Lan Tana to Rabbi Yehuda, we aligned with Rabbi Yehuda, as we saw in another Mishnah that dealt with Yom Tov. So that's what we ended with last week. What I want to do today, though, I want to go through it slowly. We started going through it slowly, but we didn't have time to finish. And I want to see these cases again. So what's the issue with this nevela? We are permitted to chop up these luyim. What's wrong with chopping up? Why couldn't you chop up the luyim on Shabbos? What, you can't cut fruits and vegetables in Shabbos? What's the problem?
You don't need for it.
What?
You don't need to use it. It's not for you.
Oh, you think it's for because it's for your animal? Okay, but do you have to feed your animal?
Well, it has no use to you.
What?
I don't know. I don't usually use novella.
Again, I want to feed my animal. I was talking about gluing, but I can throw in novella too if you want.
I thought you were talking about novella.
So this is going to be very important. Go look at Rashi. Rashi holds mechatin dluyim telushin lifnei behema. What does talush mean? It's already been detached. So remember, if it was attached going into Yom Tov, Shabbos, my mistake. If it was attached going into Shabbos, that's going to be a problem. But if it's detached, Rosh Hashanah, it has to be Talush, it has to be separated. And I guess it's lying on, I don't know, the floor, or it's lying on a shelf or something. What's the issue? Why can't you chop up, cut vegetables? What's the problem? So look at Rashi says, V'lom rinan tircha, to love the tircha. Why is this a tircha?
Like gourds are like big and...
Yeah, they're not like cucumbers, which are easy to slice and dice. These are big, you know, think about your pumpkin. You got to carry it, schlep it, chop it down. Maybe it's not the ripe, you know, you got to like axe it down. It's more than just your sibling cutting up tomatoes and cucumbers. Even to feed, besides yourself, even to feed your animal. So this is going to be important. This is a tircha issue. Interesting. Have potentially, again, this is not a tircha. We have to throw out there that certain things of a tircha might be problematic. For whatever reason, right? Rashi says here, we don't say tircha.
We don't think tircha
love the tzorach. The tzorach, right. Meaning a tircha, meaning it is a tircha to do, but since it's a tzorach, it appears it's permissible. But a tircha stam would be a problem. Right? So it's not even a muksa issue per se. It doesn't sound like a muksa issue per se. Right? I don't hear the muksa, the word tircha issue.
It would be a problem to cut it up, not for animals. If you just want to cut a pumpkin.
Right, exactly. If you want to cut up, carve your pumpkin, right, that could be an issue of making a shape. Let's say to cut it up for... Right, that would be a problem.
You don't eat random pumpkins, do you? Don't you just eat the inside?
No, you can't.
Or like most.
Can the animal eat? Can the animal eat the outside of a gourd? Or does an animal know how to like eat the inside and then?
I've never seen an animal eat a gourd.
How about a watermelon? Can you eat that thick rind of a watermelon?
You can.
Like even that, like outside us or not that, like white part.
Yeah, people eat the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah, I know people. I don't. I eat
Canadians are
like, like, are people from like Africa?
No.
I don't know. In other cultures, they like they eat more parts of the watermelon. I wonder if fewer people do.
No. Yeah. No. People eat the whole apple.
Really?
I watched someone eat an entire apple. Yeah.
Including that stem?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. No. You get to the core, and then you just eat it like that, and you get all you're left with is
one little thing. You have like the core, and like you're sitting in class, and like a little bit like
you just eat it. So there are people. Yeah, I know people eat the rind of the pumpkin.
That's a really, that's a thick. That's like a half an inch thick, right? That's not a apple core. I don't know.
No, but gourds, I don't know. Squash, you just eat the inside of the squash.
So human.
Yeah.
So everyone agrees that if human consumption should be fine. It appears from here, right? It's for the Fnei Behema.
Right. I don't.
Right? Remember, there's a much bigger chiddush according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, it's very simple. It's separated. The havimimat, meaning, why do you have to tell me that it's permissible? There's a havimimat to think that it's tircha yitera. Yes, it's a tzorah, but it's tircha yitera. It's permissible because it's tircha yitera. According to Rashi, that's the case. According to Tosfos, there's a massive chiddush. I don't think Rashi would agree with. Let's read this. Let's read the Tosfot. Tosfot is going to have a very different scenario. So again, just to reiterate, according to Rashi, what's the case? It's detached. So what's a half minute to say? No one's going to tell you you like to cut up cucumbers.
You would have thought too much work.
You would have thought that you have to hack it down. You have to chop it up. It's, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to feed your animals, which is obviously permissible, in fact, it's obligatory, use a cucumber, use a tomato, use a... It's a little bit easier, right? Why go just for the thicker, harder... You know, they didn't. What are those fancy knives they gave away at Sobeys? What are they called? Oliver?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Jamie Oliver, thank you. Really fancy Jamie Oliver knives. I don't know what they use in those days, right? But, okay. Fine. Look at Rashi. Sobeys had no idea. They started giving up. You heard this? They had this thing at Sobeys? If you spend some money, you got these little stickers. You fold up the stickers, you can go cash in for knives. Sobeys didn't hit them. When a Jew. The Jews in Thornhill could get free knives. They absolutely put the place, like, that store sold more knives than any other Sobeys put together. And they didn't know what hit them. They didn't realize that their offer would, like, you know, bankrupt them. Not bankrupt. It was really fun. So, because I go there to get knife, oh, we ran out. But don't worry, go to any other subs, they still have them in stock. Anyways, okay. Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. Go, if you go to see the Tosa, it's the second last Tosa there. Just none, yeah. Here we go. Vim Tomer. Hechidami, what are we referring to here? If you are referring to these gourds or these pumpkins that are actually still connected, so again, we go into Shabbos and they are still connected. Right? It can't be a case where these gourds are connected and we want to know you're allowed to cut them up should they detach themselves on Shabbos on their own. Because we have a principle, it's a gzera. You're not allowed, when Ben Eshmashos comes in, anything that's attached, it's usher. Okay, so when it comes, so there's a gzera shema yalav yitlosh. They're worried if you start gathering the ones that fell on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, you'll come to also cut ones that are still connected, that are about to fall.
It's already usher to pick them, right? Because it's already.
So again, when Ben Eshmashos comes in, Ben Eshmashos is by between Shkia and Seis.
Right.
So it's Shkia, but how much Shkia? 5:40 with Shkia on Friday? Yeah. Yeah, right. So let's say 40, right? So it's 5:40 on Friday, and that moment, we discussed before, we assess everything we own. So this gourd that I own in my backyard, or whatever, probably not my backyard, in this case, probably my field, right, is connected. So that is a problem because we're not, first of all, you can't take it and sever it on Shabbos itself because that's Mamas Deraisa. But what about in a situation where, and I guess this happens, they fall, they detach themselves once they're ripe and ready, you're still not allowed to gather the ones that fall on Shabbos because Shema Yalav Yitlosh, you're going to go and start grabbing other ones. So that's what, because otherwise, why couldn't you? If it fell on its own, why couldn't you then use it on Shabbos? You didn't do anything. The answer is because when Shabbos started, reality is frozen and we're concerned. And in fact, not to gather anything under a tree on Shabbos, because we're going to come and cut other ones. Sorry? Okay, so that's a very good question. If it falls before Shabbos, it could be that it doesn't apply. The question is, why not? That's what it sounds like, right? So you're going to see it's not so simple, because we are worried they're going to start gathering, because it's Ishav of Ma'amer. It's Ishav of Ma'amer.
Well, no, but it's like a Gezeirah Shana, you might do it. It doesn't matter.
Fell before and have a child.
So it's the same situation. So
question: what's the difference?
Right.
So, if you take a look, Tosafot seems to say that's not a problem.
Right, it seems to say it's only from the before child during being a child.
Right, because we're worried that you might come
to pick other ones.
What's the difference between the ones that
fell? Take a look.
I'm
saying Rashi is telling us. Take a look here.
Is it because of the fact that Baal has permission to kill you? Or is it only if you have Misa and Beit Din establishes, oh, you have
to kill you?
So that's the question. That's the question I'm asking. I want a source for where Rashi's saying he has
Misa.
Okay.
So you should know that, yeah, I saw this yesterday. Hold on, because you'll see what the next case is going to be in a second, and you're going to find it very interesting. Look at the next case. What's the next case? Cobbing up gourds or nevelef net clavim. Or what about an animal, a carcass, also chopping up for the animal to feed? So the question is, when did this animal become a nevela, right? Oh, sorry, you know what? I apologize. I'm jumping too much. Let's finish this Tosfos. Sorry. V'yesh lomar. So what are we talking about? So according to Tosfos, I'm sorry to jump ahead. Tosfos says, so we're talking about an issue. It can't be a case where Ben Eshmashos was connected, because that's an issue. So therefore, what do we see? Even Rabbi Shimon is going to agree something like that. It's not a moksa issue. So it means it had to have been severed going into Shabbos. The Yishlo, what are we talking about? Demar Betlushin. So it has to be severed, right? Which Rashi agrees with. Here we go. So what's the issue? Remember what does Rashi hold? Rashi says, might be tircha, but it's permissible. Tava says, v'salka datach, the aser wine, the meshave lehu ochlin. What? The fish and kashin, v'achituch mirachich osam. What happened? Here's the issue. The issue is that these are hard gourds, and by you cutting them, you're softening them. Maybe by softening them, you're taking something which is unedible and making it edible. So it tells us that's the issue. I mean, that was a half minute to say why you're not allowed to cut them up. Why can't you cut them up? Because you're making something which is unedible, even to the animal kingdom. And by cutting it, you're softening it. You're softening it away, then an animal would come and eat them. So maybe cutting them is an issue, not because you have mina, not because it's tircha yetera, because you're taking something which is an unedible food, even in the animal kingdom, and making it edible. That's called meshava lalo lehuga ochli. You're making it equated to food. You're taking non-food, non-edible to food. You'd think, but we're saying it's permitted. According to Shimon,
what would that be a problem? We're saying that this rule never applies, or doesn't apply in this case, or like how do we?
So it says it's you're making you're metaking something. Edible.
Right.
And that's asher to do. It's a Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Nun Hey, according to Rav Huna. Rav Huna says on Daf Kuf Nun Hey in Sechet Shabbos, you're not allowed to make something, render something edible on Shabbos. You make something more edible. But you can't go for something unedible. Now, obviously you can't cook, right? But there's another way to make something, not through the medium of cooking, edible, so maybe chopping. So maybe, I don't really understand this, but you...
I'm trying to think of examples of something...
Where you take a gourd, which is unedible, and then you, by cutting it, that softens it, and by softening it makes it edible.
Maybe it's because you only eat the middle. And then once you cut it, you're opening the middle.
And therefore, it's edible. But here's my question, though. If I'm an animal... Here's what I don't understand. If I'm an animal and I actually have teeth, why can't I just take a full gourd and do that myself? Like, I'm not like a cat.
Yeah.
But if I'm an animal, like... If I'm a behemoth, if I'm feeding it to my...
cow?
Yeah.
We can't get a bite.
Could a cow not rip it open with its teeth? Probably not.
They eat
soft grass.
Yeah. I don't know.
You don't think a donkey?
A goat. A goat can be the only thing. They have to break it up first. No.
You think a human needs to break it up to make it edible? I don't know the answer to that.
For pigs, I think they smash it up and then they...
Right, so they smash it up first for pigs.
Yeah. So I don't know if like softening is like, you know, like it's just making it capable of eating.
You're saying a full gourd is very hard. They don't have the dexterity to like hold it, take it, cut it, crunch it open.
Only like monkeys. Monkeys are pretty smart. They crack things open, but then they eat the inside. They make it edible. I don't think they
No. I don't have an answer. I'm not sure. But, okay.
So you're not allowed to make something edible on Shabbos.
So this is an issue, making ice cream on Shabbos. Come on, so listeners are edible. Where else? Mashvela ochli.
Rice paper.
Right. That's a big issue when it comes to rice paper. Add a bit of water to rice paper. Are you taking something which is unedible and making it edible?
Actually, I had some raw. Actually, they were doing
really cold
here. So, what was that? I had a couple pieces of rice
paper
raw. Edible, kind of melts in your mouth.
Not very
tasty.
No, but rice paper. But that's why no one eats rice paper by itself. Everyone only eats rice paper. Yeah. Even if you add water to it, people don't munch on rice paper.
I tried to both.
Yeah. So that's the issue. The question. So again, there are two different issues here. According to Rashi, it's permissible. You would have thought it's tircha. According to Tosfos, an issue because you would have thought it's meshavel ochli. Two gzeiras, two drabanans. Right? Why did Rav Huna make meshavel ochli aser? It looks like you're creating something new, right? You're making something new. You're making something.
Sounds like
the first one
initial soften things up.
Yeah.
That's Bishop. That's
like totally different. Bishop because there's heat, right? There's no heat, though. There's water. That's a better rice paper.
Yeah, but Rashi's saying you're like, you're physically hitting it or something to make it edible. You're doing something to it with your actions.
Right. You're schwitzen. You're doing some hard work.
In order to make it edible.
For my animals.
I don't see why that's an issue.
Because on Shabbos, there's a menucha.
You
don't want
tircha. You have to feed your animal.
Well, so here's the question. The question is this l'chichila? You know, I have a cucumber and I have this. So if I'm not to do it, I'm not to do it. Don't say, no, do the cucumber. Doing this is only b'diyev if nothing else to eat. That's not what it's saying. It's saying l'chichila. I have cucumbers and tomatoes and a gourd. No problem, use a gourd. Machatli and a d'loyim. If you need a behema. It's not saying if I have nothing else, my animal's going to die. Yeah, maybe then I could be violated the rabbanan to save my little yeah whatever. But that's not what it's saying here. It's in the chetchila. I don't want to use my carrots or my tomatoes, right? See if that's what it's implying. Now. So, what I'm trying to say is, this is nothing to do with Machloka Bet Shammai Bet Hillel. None of the Moksha. That's what I'm. Both Rashi and Tosfos, that's what I want to agree. So then, what is the issue? Is the next statement. And Nevela Vene Klavim. What about chopping up a Nevela? So, what's the case? Take a look at. Rashi. Af alpi, here we go. Shinis nabla b'Shabbat. When did it become an nevela in Shabbos? Before Shabbos started. It was a walking. What?
Even if it died on Shabbos.
Right? Yeah. Because before Shabbos started, it was a walking, talking, whatever, crowing, barking, animal, right? All of a sudden, Shabbos gets hit by a truck, dies. Before Shabbos started, you never give this to your animals to eat, your dogs to eat. Right? By the way, we're talking about what animal, we're talking about cutting up things. It's interesting. It's luyim for the behema and nevela for the klavim. What was that? Sorry? This is Parsha, right? The Kelv did Shmira for you. You have to give it some bone, some benefit for the Tircha that it did for you. But you see, this is very important. When Shabbos started, this was not an animal that you designated to feed your dog. What do you feed your dog? Want to assume it's a chicken? Dogs eat chickens? Don't they? Or that's just in the movies?
No.
Like cartoons or something? They do, right?
Yeah.
Fine, they eat chickens.
Yeah, they eat chickens.
What's in like big dogs? I'm not talking about like little moofy, poofy.
Well, even little dogs, I've never seen
them. Really?
Even little dogs can eat chickens.
You cut up your little chicken, they like Shabbos chicken.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, like, okay, fine. Okay, you're right. What do they care if it was, you know, $9.99 a pound or if it was just dead animal? Okay, so you have your chicken or a little bird. Excuse me. That's alive going into Shabbos, and all of a sudden, it became a nevela. Whatever, how to die, it doesn't matter, right? How to die? Cross the road, right? So it died on Shabbos. I couldn't resist. So now that it died, it needs to be, now you're like, what are you going to do with it? So you would think, now here's our question. Here we go. Look at anybody in Rashi. Debe Afilu hachishari, why? Deleis lan muksa b'shambas, according to Rebbe Shimon, and according to Beis Hillel, right? As Rav Nachman, we're going to step on the shitas, if you remember that, right from last time, is going to permit it. There's no muksa, and remember, not, there's no muksa, but this is not a case of muksa on Shabbos, right? Wow, can you believe it? You had a chicken in your backyard that was designated to hang out. And all of a sudden it became a nevela on Shabbos. You're allowed lechatchila to feed it to your dog. Hilchach. Therefore, magbiyim al shulchan. You're allowed to also lift up from the table these bones and these peels, shells. Because we align Beit Hillel to Rishimun. Don't challenge me because from one halacha to another. No, we're lining up Beit Hillel with Rabbi Shimon to Shabbos. And if you align Beit Hillel to Shita Rabbi Shimon to Shabbos, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold by Moksa, or holds by a very limited Moksa, that's the Shita of Beit Hillel. That's the Shita, why you're permitted, why you're allowed to cut the Dluyim. Everyone agrees on Dluyim. That's you're allowed to pick up the bones with your hands, the peels with your hands, and that's why you are allowed to pick it up and feed it to your dog. This type of muksa is not under the rubric of muksa. Right? You'd think this type of muksa would be. No, it's not. Okay? That's why it's permissible. Now, says Tosvos, So again, Rashi holds it. Why is this nevela? What's the chavim have to say? This nevela be aser? The answer is because it became nevela on Shabbos. Even if it became nevela on Shabbos, you're permitted to do it. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Shimon and Beisham and Beis Hillel. That's the chiddush lalacha that you're allowed to, even though you did not designate it as animal food or in this case dog food. When on the onset of Shabbos comes on Tosfos and says, not so fast. Last Tosfos on the daf. Anu sirachim lafaresh shnisnabla. The Shabbos. Sorry, we have to say. What do you mean? We mean kol magam tanya lehu b'hadeda de dafagav de bedloin lahave time amishum moksa. Let me show you the name. Shayach l'shon mechatchem. Sorry, he agrees. No machalos. Sorry, no machalos. No machalos. Rashi Tosfos also agrees. So again, we're bringing this case not because of the first one of the Dluyim, that's not a moksha issue, it's because of the Nisnabla B'Shabbos. Because we came in a veil on Shabbos, that is our issue. That being said, I saw that there is an opinion that holds that both of these are referring to moksha. How can you say the Dluyim is referring to moksha? I will tell you, give me 1 second. Oh, that what? They felt that these Dluyim were severed. How did they become severed? A non-Jew. A non-Jew came, plucked this gourd, brought it into her house on Shabbos, and said, I got this gourd. It's not ripe now. You're like, oh, wow, how convenient. Chris brought me a gourd on Shabbos, on Saturday, right? He comes to us and says, you know, Zach, I don't understand this beautiful gourd. I know it's your Sabbath. I wanted to give you a gift on the Holy Sabbath, right? You know, and you're like, great, thanks so much, right? He puts it on your countertop. He says, I can't eat it, but you know what? My animal is looking at it and is getting very hungry. You know what? I'll chop it up and give it to him. So says that's the opinion. There is a Tosfos which says that maybe that's the case. Rabbeinu Tam. That's Rabbeinu Tam in a Gemara elsewhere holds that maybe that's the case, in which case it is connected to Nevela, i.e. both the gourd and your animal. When Shabbat started, you never thought you'd use to feed your animals, your dogs. And that both of them, all of a sudden, became usable for animal food. How? The Nevela was killed on Shabbos, and the non-Jew brought it to your house.
And then the goy there only helps that, the fact that you only
gazera
that you'll pick
up. Oh, there's no gzema yalav yitlosh. Why? It's brought to your house. Yeah. There's no gzema shema yalav yitlosh on your kitchen table. Right?
Yeah. So,
okay, fine. Okay. So you have to remove that gzera.
Right.
So that's why I can't use the case of it fell. I can't say that it fell on Shabbos. Well, because if it fell on Shabbos, I didn't do anything. Why can't I eat it? The answer is, by the way, this is also important, because let's say if you're a farmer, you know these things. You know that if your gourd is at a certain stage of being ripe, and the temperature, you know that it's going to fall, right? You know these apples are going to fall. You know that we don't know these, I don't know these things, right? But these guys, this is your job. You know, okay, this is moments away, hours away from falling, right? So you think, okay, I have kavan to eat this. No, you're still not allowed to. Why? If it's brought to your table,
But really, things which are muksa, so both the cases that I'm referring to in town, is that things which were muksa during the Hashmashos, now they're not, you can eliminate them.
Right, exactly. Right. That's the key here. That's the key. The key, the chiddush, whether you just hold that it's the second case, like we saw Rashi and this Tosfos, or elsewhere, Rabbeinu Tam holds that it's also the first case. Regardless, it's anything that when Shabbos started, you never imagined that you'd be able to use it in a certain way. For whatever reason, it became a viable option. On Shabbos, you'd be allowed still to use. Because if you don't hold, like Rabbi Shimon, you don't hold by, this is an example of moksa. Rabbi Shimon and Beis Hillel. Either the Nevela case, or also if it fell, fell on Shabbos, and then a goy delivered it to your table. Okay. Here we go. You ready? I'm going to read to you the Hagdama in the Rambam Perush Mishnayos. Ready? This is what he says about a Stam Mishnah. He says the following. He goes like this: Kol makom shenishna din b'mishnah. Anytime you have a statement in a Mishnah, lulo machlokas, there's no one argues on it. V'lo huskar shem ha'omro. We don't know who's the author. So not if you have a dissenting opinion, but when you have a statement, for example, it's just a statement, no one argues, and there's no name. Basically, what is Rebbe codifying to tell you? That's halacha. Kevan shekachu da'as harov. This is the majority, this is the opinion of the majority. No one argued. Or shehu Kabbalah shall Rabbi mipnei Rabbi. This has been the accepted from one generation to the next. And Moshe Rabbeinu. Since Moses. And that's like Dhamma, the Perush Mishnayos of Maimonides. Okay? Very good. So let's continue now back to our Gemara. Avalagabe. Fine, let's turn the page. Avalagabe. Yom Tov, now, Yom Tov, when it comes to Yom Tov, here we go. Stam Tana Rabbi Yehuda. When we have a Stam Tana, that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. And what's the example of when we have a Stam Mishnah, which will machmir like Rabbi Yehuda? That's the case of Ein Mavkim Eitzim Minakoros. Velo Minakora Shenishbra V'Yom Tov. So again, remember, we always want to hold like Beis Hillel. So we're now aligning Beis Hillel to the Machmir Shita of Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to a Yom Tov. So again, we're aligning Beis Hillel to be Mekil Rabbi Shimon by Shabbos, and we're going to align Beis Hillel like Rabbi Yehuda to be Machmir Yom Tov. Why that is, I think I mentioned it quickly last year, the year before. We'll see that inside. Not we're not even going to get to today. Because this case is a difficult case. What in the world are we talking about that is forbidden, aim? You're not allowed to. What are Mavkin Eitzim in the Korvus? What is that case? What aren't you allowed to do? What does that mean? And you're also not allowed to take a Korah Shin Shabbatim. What are those cases? Rashi. Okay. Oh, very good. Aim of Kianetim. Beyond that. Lo mina koros hasturo zo al gavzo bakarko. Menes the binyan. So what did I do? I have a construction site. And I have planks of wood. Two, three, four. Now, why would I want to chop up this wood for?
To build.
So again, I'm not a Yom Tov. I can't build a Yom Tov. What would be a permissible thing that I could use this wood for?
Fire.
I'm allowed to add to a fire Yom Tov. It's Yom Tov. Meaning, I don't ask this question on Shabbos. Because everyone is going to be Aser. No, but the Chiddush is that it's Aser. Why is it Aser to do? Because the answer is, what was the function of these planks going into Yom Tov? Maybe you could argue they're construction planks. Maybe. Right? Note that, is that a rock? Or Remedes the Binyan, right? These are designated for building. We would never use. Right? If you're about to build a house, right, we know in Toronto anyways, it's actually interesting. All of our houses are framed with wood. Right? First you build a frame with wood, and then you add to it. Right? That's how we build in Toronto. They don't actually build the way in Israel. In Israel,
it's just stones,
right? Just stones and concrete. They don't use wood. Wood is too expensive, and they don't have a lot of trees.
For 770.
What?
770 is still like wood. It's modeled after the 770. Yeah. 770 in Israel is like modeled the same.
Oh.
It's only non-Jews some stone building in like the city.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's whenever it gets fined, it's cool.
It gets fined, right?
Yeah. It's like a hard thing to pay the fine, though. It's a big...
Because it's for the Rebbe. Pay the fine. Right. I didn't know that. But that makes sense to me.
It stands out.
Right. It's not true some stone.
Yeah.
Right. Because...
I was reading that. I said I had no.
Sorry.
What
else could be an issue with why you can't use... wood used for building? Anyone want to? What else? Maybe could use it for him.
You want to sit on it? I don't know.
What was that?
You're asking
Why else could I not? Meaning, so according to Rashi, what do we see from here? We see according to Rashi, why can't you use these planks?
Because they're dedicated to a building.
Yeah, I mean, I put them aside during the. I'm building a house. I have my planks of wood put aside. So to come now and to smash them up for firewood. They've been designated. Remember this whole thing? They've been designated towards function A.
Which is an usher function.
Just like an animal, which is an usher function. And all of a sudden, I'm switching my thought. Something happens, I'm switching my thought. I'm not allowed to then go and chop them up for firewood. Could be another reason why they are usher. Tosos can propose another answer. Third Tosos. Lo maise mereisha de ein mafkin koros. To high my rate, the source of koros, to have a muksa machmas, chisaron kis. Oh, that's the second case. Sorry. My mistake. Go back to the second case. The second case are koros shinis rabbi yom tov. What's a koros shinis rabbi yom tov?
It broke. You're going to build it, and then, oops, it snaps.
So, okay, so this is a beam. This is like a beam in my house, a wooden beam in my house. And what were they doing? Again, part of my house.
This is already built in?
Yeah. That's what, look at Rashi there. Af abav shomedes machshav lehesek. Ho'il b'nishmashos lav lahachi kaima kevan diksasu b'nishmashos katsu kul yome. Rashi says, since I designate, again, this is a beam in my house. What happened on Yom Tov? It snapped. So now I no longer can use my beam. Why? Because my beam is now snapped in half. Don't.
You bigger issue.
I have bigger issue than
being
snapped in half.
Maybe it's just like outside the house. I don't know. It's part. So isn't it makes more sense that like.
Maybe it's my back room.
It was part of the same thing of beams that you had before to build your house. This one happened to break. Yeah, I don't know.
It's
not attached to the house.
You know, it snapped. Maybe it's my outside beam. I don't know. Anyways, it snapped. I can't use it. So both the cases are similar in the sense that when Shabbos started, they were designated for something else. When Yom Tov started, there's something else. One are construction wood, and one is part of an already existing structure. And then in both cases, especially the second case in particular, they change their status. Right. So again, there are those who want to argue that this is very similar to our previous. The first case has nothing to do maybe with Muksa. It's kind of hard to argue that because it's still... I left you designated towards a construction site. But for sure, the second case, everyone agrees, is a very similar to the Nevela case. Something which was totally not connected to, right? You're never going to use it. It's something that's a part of your house. And all of a sudden, something happened. Either just like the previous case, your animal was killed, or it snapped. And I want to use it for fire. So Rashi makes a much bigger deal out of that case, right? Right? Even though Afagav Shomed Ma Ashav Isaac, even though now it's Isaac, what will you do with it the next day if it's not Yom Tov? You're going to use it for firewood. What is it going to use it for? It's snapped in half. You don't reconnect the pieces of wood that snapped. That's absurd. The only function is for firewood. So what's the difference if I'm going to do it tomorrow or today? I should do it today. I'm allowed to cook today, so why can't I use it? Rashi says, I'll tell you why I can't use it. It didn't occur to you to use it because it's part of your structure of your house. And we know that katsu benesh mashos, when you put it aside, a benesh mashos is put aside the entire Yom Tov. The Kula Yome. Alma Islam Moksa Yom Tov. We see from here there is Moksa Yom Tov. Again, what's this Moksa? We see this Moksa, by the way, it's almost. And no, it's a. Hear what time Moksa is referring to? It's like a new Moksa, a new creation, a new entity, right? Something that you didn't think you'd get to use, and all of a sudden, you're allowed to. When you see that type of Moksa exists. And by the way, now, what do we see from here? Why is it that Beis Hillel makes our egg forbidden? Exact same case. But when it's shmashos, there's no egg. All of a sudden, there's an egg. It's usher. It's just like your beam that snaps. Your beam snapping. When Shabbos, when Yom Tov walked in, the beam was part of your house. When Yom Tov walked in, you had... Your egg was part of the chicken, right? It was like, all of a sudden, boom, the egg comes out, the beam snaps. Both cases, we're going to argue, they are very similar. That muksa, that type of muksa, is what is forbidden on Yom Tov, according to Beis Hillel, who holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says your egg is usher, who holds that your beam is usher to use for firewood. Tosos will add something else and give us another reason why this beam is forbidden. I thought he actually said for Korah too, but I just checked again. I don't believe he says it. You'll tell me what you think. Take a look at this Tosos, Emevkin Eitzim. Lo Maisim Mareisha Din Mevkin Koros. Not referring to, right? It seems not. But when it comes to these wooden planks, so Hai Mayre Bisoasho Koros to Havim Moksim Achmas Chisarankis. We're talking about this is talking about a situation. Why is it moksa? This is a moksa that everyone agrees to. And what type of moksa is this? Chisaron kis. What moksa does that mean?
You're losing money.
It's really expensive to move it. Something which is really, really bad.
You have a plank. Interesting. Lo maisei mereisha. Not referring to the beginning, the end of King Koros. The ha maire b'social Koros. He's saying that, I think he's saying this, referring to the Koros, right? What are these Koros? These Koros. Eitzimun a Koros for a Koros. You know, I think
he's not bringing. It's not bringing it as the raya.
Right, not the raya to the Rav Nachman. That meaning that even Rabbi Shimon would agree that if you have these planks, they are going to be aser. Why? Because these planks are moksa, machmas, chisarokis. No one. You have a plank for building. You're going to chop it down for firewood? No one would do that. They're too expensive. They're too valuable. You're going to use housing material to chop down for your firewood? That is like using, expensive.
Using your camera as a paperweight.
Using your camera as a paperweight, right? Right? Good example, right? Using your $2,000 camera to nail as a, to crack nuts. Very good, right? You'd never do that, right? You'd never, ever do that. Thank you, good example, right? And therefore, it's considered moksa. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, this is what's important. So again, just like the previous case, no, it's not the first statement in the Mishnah that's showing a machlogas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. You follow the parallel? It's the second case. Says Tosfos, why not? Because even Rabbi Shimon is going to argue that the first case is asur. Why? Because of machmas chisaron kis. Yeah, that's, so again, just like the previous case, where you had your deluyim, right? And why you're allowed to chop it up, you guys? We think it's tir chabet. So those aren't an issue. There's no machlokes there, right? We agree you're allowed to do it, no problem. So in this case, this is not the raya to demonstrate the muksa difference between Beshama and Besela, because even, or Rabbi Shimon Huda, because even Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold by muksa, holds that this is asr. So by the way, what do we see from here? The concept of machmas, chisara kis, is a higher ranking muksa. It's such a high ranking muksa that Rabbi Shimon holds by it. It's the highest ranking, or it's one of the highest ranking muksas that exist. It's called chisaron kis. You'd never handle that. You'd never use it for this type of a function. It's way too valuable. That even Rabbi Shimon, who lately muksa, holds by. What? No, no, it's not. No, it's a high muksa. So we know if I the difference between my $2,000 camera and my $10 hammer is that my $10 hammer I can move off my sofa if I want to sit there, or I could use to crack open nuts, meaning it's mutter for a permissible usage or the tzara gufo or makomo. If I use that as a paperweight or to sit in that spot, that's permissible to move. No shinoi, pick up and move it. When it comes to something machmar chisaron kis, which is a higher form of moksa, you're not allowed to move at all. And? Sorry?
Yeah. So,
correct. And even Rabbi Shimon holds by moksa. Again, that's a bigger, in many ways, a bigger chedesh potentially. Okay? But as I told you, not all moksas are created equally. And what's interesting is that, right, an animal that gets killed on Yom Tov, you can give to your other animals to eat. That is the lower level moksa. You're in town and you go out and about. Whereas your expensive camera, or your China statue, or your China whatever. And by the way, I use an example of $2,000. You could argue they did $50 maybe. I don't know. I don't know the exact value, right? Of what's the selling half. Something you don't handle regularly. By the way, so Machlok does the status of this. What's the status on the phone? What? Right. What's the phone? Is that it's expensive, but you handle it so regularly. What tells you the time? Has a function to it? And look, people walk around with $10,000 watches on their hand. Can't tell me that's Moksa Mohammed Sam Keys. It has a function, right? That they use regularly, they handle regularly on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Right, or Yom Tov. Right, exactly. So, I don't wear a watch. During the week, and Shabbos I wear a watch. But during the week, I don't see why you need a watch. So, what was that? You agree?
I disagree on that point, but that's okay.
You wear a watch all the time. Okay. There you go. It's fine. Yeah, disagree. The if I was a Gemara, you couldn't disagree with me. I'm not a Gemara. You disagree with me. Let's just finish off this Tosfot because we're almost done with our time. I knew exactly that. It's so funny. I'm like, oh yeah, we'll just get to hear it. And I was right. But meaning, when it comes to moksa of chisaron kis, even Rabbi Shimon submits and says, no, that would be moksa. Here we go. Ella may see me seifa, but the seifa to lo mina korash nishpra. What about a situation where a plank cracked on Yom Tov? So this could be a machlokas. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. So again, we're going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda on Yom Tov, but this would be an example of maybe Rabbi Shimon would hold. No. What's the big deal? It's a plank. It's snapped in half. What are you going to use it for the next day? The next day, you're going to use it exactly for firewood. Whereas our beam, our wooden beam for building, the next day, you're going to use it for construction. Right? So it's not the same. Whereas our beam, says Rabbi Shimon, okay, our beam cracked on Yom Tov. It's sad. It's tragic. Use it. It has functionality now. Why not use it? What's the deal? Right? Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Yontif started. You designated it towards your beam. There's no way you'd consider using it for anything else. That something which transforms on Yom Tov to a usability that he doesn't hold by. Meaning, Rabbi Shimon says Rabbi Huda holds that's exactly moksha. I hold as usher. Rabbi Shimon say no, that moksha would be considered permissible. Vim tomar of Rabbi Shimon eino mater ella b'yoshev metzapeh. And then Tosfos says, wait a second. Don't tell me this is a blank check. The Rishimon says any beam that cracks you're allowed to use. It's only in the case of Yoshev and Matzapeh, right, where you're sitting and you're like, listen, this is coming down. I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. Right? So Yom Tov started. You see there's a crack in the foundation. Why exactly you're still sitting there? I have absolutely no idea. But maybe it's an outside beam, whatever it is, a different room, I don't know, whatever. And Yoshev and Matzapeh, you know that's momentarily that. Tosfos says, isn't that the only case Rabbi Shimon permits it? Because that you know it's inevitable. It's minutes, hours away. Right. Okay, good, good. Very good question. Excellent question. Hold on. V'yesh lomar dani nari ho'el v'nishpura b'shabes mistama ha'isa re'u'a me'asmo. Must have been rickety from the day before. V'havek yoshev metzabe ma'ite t'shabe korso t'yeru'a l'asika. So you ask a very good question. I don't understand why Jesus has to say this either.
Also,
you're
a yes and no. Does he know that it's breaking?
He wants to suggest that he knows that it's going to break. And then you guys asked the bomb question right away. You didn't even bat an eyelash. You said, wait a second. You knew the chicken would get run over by a car crossing the street. You didn't know that. And that everyone agrees with is permissible. Why would it be any different? Very good. Excellent. Okay, so the truth is, I think we're going to stop there only because the Gemara now, you see we're now to the fourth line, Rabbi Yehuda, period. The Gemara's going to ask a question. I think that's a good place to stop. The Gemara's question is something we're going to pick up on Gabriel next week. Okay. Next week is a long weekend.